You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Russ Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Melville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. Welcome to the show. It is Wednesday, July 1st, 2015, and that's the smell of freedom in the air, ladies and gentlemen. It is 420 all day long here in Portland, Oregon, where last night we celebrated the legalization of marijuana in this state. And today on the show, I'm going to be playing you recordings from all of our major local news media stations. That's coming up right after the first break, which we're going to get to real quick because the show is packed today. We're also going to give you some highlights from my appearance on the Who's the Ross program yesterday, including great music from the house band, Them the Band. And we've got my appearance on Huffington Post Live that just took place a couple of hours ago. We'll play that for you. And we've got my appearance, or we've got the ACLU of Oregon's press conference on marijuana legalization to get to. So it's an all Portland thing. We're coming back with the 420 radio news. And then after the news, we'll tell you all about legalization. Oh my God, it was an amazing night. If you've seen any of the news reports, we had over 1,000, probably a couple thousand people lined up on the Burnside Bridge ready to celebrate marijuana legalization. And not a cop in sight. Zero arrests, zero injuries, zero accidents, zero problems. And thousands of people gathered to toke. If that doesn't prove why marijuana should be legalized, I don't know what else does. And folks, I'm exhausted. Give you everything I can. Coming up next, check this out. We've got KGW News reporting on last night's Burnside Burn.
You're tuned into the Russ Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Of Oregon, marijuana is now legal for all adults 21 and over.
Thousands of people did celebrate that milestone by lighting up on the Burnside Bridge. We told you about that event 24 hours ago here on Sunrise. In fact, Tim Gordon is right back where he started yesterday morning. It was a pre-party report at that time. Now, Tim, you can tell us how it actually went. What happened out there last night?
Right. Well, you know, by a couple of measures, it was a really big success. It's quiet out here now, but there were thousands of people on the bridge at midnight last night. And as far as we know, there were no injuries or arrests.
There you go.
And after the countdown at midnight, just a whole lot of pot smoking going on to celebrate the legalization of marijuana by recreational users, by those 21 and over. The end of the prohibition came at midnight last night. What a scene. You know, if you're not looking at your screen right now, look up, you should. Marijuana everywhere, pipes and plants, just a whole lot of partying. The law now allows people to have up to an ounce on them in public and up to four plants at home. Well, last night on the bridge, there were ounces of pot and plants in plain view. The rules last night to ring in the new era, well, they were bent. Police looked the other way and didn't interrupt the party.
Stoked, totally stoked. I'm totally excited about this. This is awesome. Portland needed this a long time ago.
You know, organizers said they expected maybe 500 people to show up. They think there were 5,000 on this bridge and in the area. We're not going to argue with that figure. There were just a whole lot of people out here. Our crew last night drove up and down the bridge and just saw a mass of humanity, most of them getting high legally in Oregon. Back to you.
Yeah, that's remarkable. Thank you very much, Tim. You know,
420 Radio, freeing your mind 24 hours a day.
420 Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum, elegance and sophistication concentrated.
Hey, I'm Herb Thrasher, host of Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, live every Friday night at 8 Pacific. Tune in for 2 hours of metal marijuana mayhem featuring exclusive interviews with the latest bands, highlights of live shows, and the latest in marijuana news. It's the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, Friday nights at 8 p.m. at 420 Radio, or catch the replay on Saturday nights.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Norman. And I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at norml.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Russ Belville with your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
This is your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, July 1st, 2015. At midnight Wednesday, July 1st, 2015, people around Oregon celebrated the legalization of recreational marijuana. In downtown Portland, near the iconic Portland, Oregon sign in Old Town, thousands gathered to get and share pot. Hundreds of people took over the Burnside Bridge's north sidewalk Tuesday night and Wednesday morning, spilling into the roadway and blocking multiple lanes at various points throughout the night. It was loud and energetic, with activists stirring up the crowd with megaphone-powered chants like "Free the Weed." At about 12:30 in the morning, a crowd swarmed two women who were handing out joints to anybody who was quick enough to show them an ID proving that they were older than 21, the legal age set by state law. They described the experience as surreal. Quote, "I never imagined you'd be able to hand out joints in the street and it would be acceptable," end quote, Kristen McKinnon, age 25, said. Governor Jay Inslee has signed into law a measure that reforms several elements of Washington State's recreational marijuana law. The bill signed Tuesday eliminates the current three-tier tax structure and replaces it with a single excise tax of 37% at the point of sale. To encourage more cities and counties to allow marijuana businesses, the bill directs the state to share pot revenue only with jurisdictions that do so. It would also allow them to adopt more flexible zoning for where pot grows and stores can be located. Earlier this year, the legislature passed and Inslee signed into law a measure that regulates the state's medical marijuana system and reconciles the two markets. People who make marijuana hash oil with hazardous materials at home will face felony charges in Colorado under new state laws taking effect today. Licensed manufacturers of pot concentrates won't be affected by the new law, but amateur cooks will be charged if they use materials like a flammable liquid chemical or compressed gas, both of which have been linked to explosions. More than 30 butane explosions were connected to hash production in 2014. One of the sponsors of the law, Representative Eulyn Willett of Delta, said that one benefit of the legislation is that it will allow law enforcement to make arrests before there's an explosion, rather than prosecuting the cases after the fact. Quote, "Many jurisdictions felt that their hands were tied and they could only respond after an accident," he said. A campaign to legalize marijuana in Ohio took a step closer to making November's ballot Tuesday after its promoters turned in more than twice the required number of signatures. But the measure will face competition at the polls. Ohio legislators also approved their own ballot measure on Tuesday to undermine the pot plan, which lawmakers worried would amount to a marijuana monopoly because of its provisions that only 10 growers would control the wholesale pot market. Responsible Ohio still has to wait for the Secretary of State to determine if enough of its signatures are valid to make the ballot, which could take several weeks. It submitted over 695,000 signatures to the state, far more than the over 305,000 registered voters signatures it needs to qualify. If voters approve both of the conflicting measures, Ohio law says whichever gets the most votes would win. But Secretary of State John Husted, a Republican, recently said that if both passed, the legislatively referred anti-monopoly measure would block Responsible Ohio's plan because citizen-initiated measures take 30 days to go into effect. The issue could end up before a judge. People caught with small amounts of marijuana can now receive civil citations instead of jail time in Florida's largest county, the first in the state to treat marijuana possession as a non-criminal act. The Miami-Dade County Commission approved a proposal Tuesday to let police issue $100 civil citations, or the equivalent of community service hours, for possession of up to 20 grams of marijuana. County Commissioner Sally Heyman said her measure seeks to spare people a criminal record and would reduce the economic burden on the criminal justice system. Quote, "It's just like a traffic ticket. You have a fine to pay. It's low enough that people can do community service," end quote. The decision to arrest will still be up to the officer's discretion. Police officials say they'll have to develop policies concerning when a civil citation is appropriate rather than an arrest. This has been your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, July 1st, 2015. I'm Russ Belville.
Radio, your ticket to Seattle Hemp Fest. The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
NORML stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less than those posed by legal drugs.
Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal. Ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers.
Well, today, of course, the big headline is the Burnside Burn, our celebration of marijuana legalization in the state of Oregon, was covered by all our major news affiliates. You heard the KGW NBC affiliate. Now you'll get COIN ABC and K2 CBS.
Good evening, everyone. At 11 o'clock, I'm Jeff Giannola, and just about an hour from now, recreational marijuana will be legal in Oregon. Our reporter Cole Miller on the Burnside Bridge, where people are lining up to welcome in the new law. Cole?
Well, Jeff, the countdown is on. Marijuana legal, recreational marijuana, nearly legal here in Oregon. Now, we are on the west side of the Burnside Bridge. The camera showing you the crowd here. We're talking hundreds of people on the north side of the Burnside Bridge. This is called the Burnside Burn. Local dispensaries and some medical marijuana patients handing out marijuana and seeds here. This line goes all the way over the bridge. I couldn't even see the end of it. Now, there are a couple of people out here lighting up, but lighting up in public is still a no-no. So how will cops handle it? Tonight, we're getting those answers.
We anticipate that there's going to be a lot of people that will immediately go out and start smoking, maybe in public areas.
Come midnight, Oregon joins Colorado, Washington State, Washington, D.C., and Alaska in legalizing recreational marijuana. If you're 21 or older, it means you can carry around an ounce. At home, 8 ounces. You can even have 4 plants at your place. But out on the streets and sidewalks, lighting up is still illegal.
We really encourage people to use private locations in their homes and be respectful of the fact that there are a lot of people who don't want to smell it.
So the big question is, how are cops going to enforce it? I found out an officer has a lot of discretion in making that call on their own.
It's not been a huge priority prior to July 1st, and it won't be going forward.
If you're out and about and you see someone taking a hit, don't call 911. Use the non-emergency line. But if you see someone driving and firing up, do call 911.
Number one concern we have is people getting behind the wheel after they've consumed any intoxicants and then driving.
And moving forward, enforcement and the road ahead is a little foggy.
It'll probably be driven on complaints.
So don't expect any drastic changes on how they police. Okay, and a live look again here at the Burnside Bridge. We're talking hundreds of people, a huge crowd out here for a weed and seed giveaway. Now, this line goes all the way over the bridge. We're talking all the way over the river. I mean, it is a huge crowd out here. Now, police basically say smoking out in public is a roll of the dice. There's still a chance you could get a citation, but Jeff, their focus is going to remain on those large trafficking operations, and that doesn't necessarily involve the people we're going to see out here tonight. Back to you.
Okay, Cole Miller out there on the Burnside Bridge. Lots of folks there along with him. So, it's legal. But as of right now, there is no legal system for selling recreational pot in Oregon. The state Senate approved a bill today that would let medical marijuana dispensaries sell recreational pot starting in October. That will help get sales rolling while the Liquor Control Commission works on a permanent system to let marijuana stores open. Our camera crew will stay at the Burnside gathering tonight. We'll let you know what happens during that public celebration, and you can catch the latest on Coin 6 News starting at 4:30 in the morning.
1 hour and counting until recreational marijuana is legal in Oregon, and people are getting ready right now, lining up for a weed giveaway right under the Burnside Bridge. Good evening. Thanks for being with us, everybody. I'm Steve Dunn.
And I'm Deborah Knapp. Welcome to KT News at 11. Oregon, the first state to decriminalize marijuana back in the 1970s, is about to follow Colorado and Washington's lead, and not everybody is happy with the new era of tolerance. We have team coverage of Oregon's transition to a legal marijuana state. Hillary Lake talked to the opposition and worries and who worry about how the law and the legislature's tweaks could hurt kids.
But first of all, let's go downtown where Jackie LeBrec is live with people who will be celebrating at midnight. Jackie.
They're already celebrating, that's for sure. We're live on the Burnside Bridge, about midway down. This is actually halfway through the line. It starts on the west side of the river. The atmosphere out here, folks are excited. They are fired up. This is a giveaway, a handout of seeds and actual marijuana. It is also kind of a sharing ceremony. I am seeing some smoking. That is happening. But as organizers have said, the more, the merrier.
Well, tonight, personally, is 25 years in the making. I've been a cannabis consumer since 1990.
And Russ Belville has a plan.
To just get my selfie taken at this iconic Portland, Oregon sign at the moment that I am no longer a criminal under Oregon law.
Belville heads up Portland's chapter of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. At midnight, others will join him, and they're all bringing pot to share.
We're legal as of midnight, but we don't have any legal place to purchase.
Belville says sharing weed is really basic economics.
We figure let's take advantage of Oregon generosity and just overgrow and free the weed, so to speak, so that we're not perpetuating the black market.
It's a responsible party.
Same idea at Josh Taylor's Weed the People event happening Friday.
Nothing but a selection of growers from around the state handing out lab-tested samples of their marijuana flowers.
People can take home up to 7 grams, a quarter of what you're allowed to legally carry on you.
We are sold out with a waiting list of 750 people.
All waiting to celebrate a new beginning.
There's still a long way to go, but at least we're no longer treated as criminals in Oregon.
Normal's next big hurdle, tackling reform on drug testing that could prevent you from actually getting a job. But for now, the focus is on the celebration. Again, they organized this entire thing. Hundreds of folks are out here tonight. The line starts all the way down right near the west side of the river. It is, looks like it's about 3/4 of the way down to the east side. This is a long bridge. Again, still an hour to go. So lots of people here tonight.
420 Radio, your ticket to the High Times Cannabis Cups. This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the weed.
Maybe we should start at 420, right? Marijuana reference.
All right, we have more coverage from last night's historic Burnside Burn on the Burnside Bridge, but we're going to lighten things up a little bit. Another thing I did last night, right before the Burnside Burn, is I appeared on the Aaron Ross program. We've got music from their house band that has to be heard to be believed. Stay tuned.
Connect with 420radio.org through social media, on Twitter at 420radio.org, and our Facebook page at 420radio.org. Follow us and like us today. You'll be glad you did. Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belleville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Irie Wednesday, featuring reggae, ska, and other world music genres. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
No, don't adjust your clock. We're not in hour two yet. I know we moved the Daily Toker Tunes to hour two, but today I wanted to have a Daily Toker Tune in hour one in celebration of our newfound legal status here as cannabis consumers in the state of Oregon. And last night I appeared on the Aaron Ross Show. It's Who's the Ross is the name of the program, and it's a live basically late night comedy show like you would see Jimmy Fallon or Conan O'Brien, right? It's hosted by Aaron Ross. He's got his own side band, a little three-piece band, and they're called Them the Band. And he does little skits and contests in the bar, does giveaways, gets the crowd all riled up, and also has guests that he interviews, from politicians to local news anchors to yours truly whenever he needs a pot story. And since there was legalization happening last night, I appeared there on the show about an hour before legalization began. This is Them the Band, though, playing before my appearance with their cover of Led Zeppelin and the Ocean. Thank you. Them the Band, ladies and gentlemen, featuring J.P. Downer on bass. You can catch them on Who's the Ross at Dante's every Tuesday night.
420 Radio, turning red states and blue states green.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
There's so much I worry about as a mom. Stephen Harper thinks that organized crime should continue to profit from marijuana prohibition. Imagine regulating marijuana like alcohol and cigarettes with a strong and clear educational message, making it more difficult for my kids and your kids to access. Drug dealers don't ask for ID. Stephen Harper does not have the kind of judgment we need to protect our children, authorized by the Normal Women's Alliance of Canada.
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
The cannabis community is a diverse set of people from all walks of life, conservative and liberal, black and white, straight and gay, rich and poor, and everyone in between. Learn more about the people we are freeing from adult marijuana prohibition in our Cannabis Community Chat.
Well, last night's Burnside Burn is the talk of the town. We were even a trending topic in the United States on Twitter last night, but as many media interviews as I did, I couldn't get to them all. One of the reporters from the Oregonian caught up with our communications director from Portland Normal, also known to you longtime listeners as Wiz Calico. Calico Castile interviewed with the folks from the Oregonian. We'll play that for you. And when we come back, we'll play our final clip, my appearance on Huffington Post Live earlier today.
Calico Castile, and I'm the communications director for Portland Normal, and I also work for theweedblog.com.
And what does this night mean? We've got thousands of people out here on the bridge.
This is just absolute craziness, man. This is something that people have been working decades for in this state, and it's finally coming to fruition tonight. And I think it's just a jovial and party atmosphere out here. It's great to see people from all walks of life out here handing out joints to each other and just kind of getting to know their neighbors. It's kind of turning into a pretty cool social experiment, if you ask me.
And what's weird to me is I haven't seen one cop tonight. Why?
There's one. You know, it's funny. I've watched a couple drive by, and one was just actually filming the line. Because I think for them, like, they've spent their entire lives being drilled into them that they need to guard against this, and they need to police against marijuana. And now for them, it's a total mind shift. Like, that, you know, a couple days ago was something that they would have busted this down. But because today's, you know, a special occasion, it's something that they're going to be changing their minds about. So it's pretty wild.
Which is great for them, because now you don't have to bust a bunch of people for misdemeanor pot possession.
Right, absolutely. I mean, it's a waste of time and resources, and I think they're finding that out right now. I mean, there's plenty of other things going on here in the city of Portland right now, other than people smoking weed. This is the least of their worries,
great,
for sure.
Well, congratulations. This is a great event.
It
worked out well.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you being here, man. Thank you.
Cheers.
That's Andy Campbell with the Oregonian, our local news paper. Yes, still have newspapers. Highest circulation in the Pacific Northwest, if I'm not mistaken. And last night's Burnside Burn was just amazing. And I think the most amazing thing to me about it is being able to do that event and not have any injuries, any interruptions, problems. Yes, traffic was blocked a little bit, but still the cars were getting through. The bridge wasn't actually shut down. So no arrests. It was a very, very good evening, and showed how cannabis consumers are, you know, generally peaceful people that aren't going to cause society a whole lot of problems, whether it's legal or not. I appreciate all of the people who helped out, and not the least of which is the Portland Normal board members, Scott Gordon, a.k.a. Herb Thrasher, our deputy director, Jennifer Alexander, our facilities director, and Calico Castile, our communications director, were all there, plus help from my family and Jennifer's family there to provide some logistics support while we're hanging out among five or, you know, maybe 2,000 or 3,000 of our closest friends. It's a pretty long bridge we're talking about. And the sidewalks and the bike lanes were completely filled with people stretching across the bridge and two blocks farther down from the east end of the bridge. So it was an enormous gathering. And many people brought marijuana to share. I want to thank everyone that brought something to share with everyone else. Some people were handing out little clones. Some were handing out seeds. Some were handing out usable marijuana, rolled joints and such. A lot of the dispensaries in town got involved, sent people out, representatives out, and were distributing free marijuana for people, checking IDs. Everyone was diligent to not get kids involved in this. To what I could see, it looked fairly adult to me. And it was just remarkable. Also, huge, huge shout out to Fresh Buds PDX. I encourage people to follow them on Twitter and give them some love today. Fresh_Buds_PDX. They're the dispensary that kicked in when the turnout was far greater than anyone could have imagined. They're the ones that reacted in kind of an emergency fashion that night. If you listen to my stream, you heard me saying it over and over and over again. 110 Southeast Main Street, Fresh Buds. And they opened their doors late last night, early in the morning, actually, around 2:30 in the morning, and gave away over a pound of marijuana to people. So that was so helpful. Thank you for doing that. All right, we're going to close the show today with my appearance on Huffington Post Live with Brian Vincente, Andy Campbell, who wrote that article with Calico.
This is Huff Post Live. I'm Josh Sipps. In Oregon, recreational weed is now legal. While new legislation allows adults 21 and older to sell, buy, and grow pot as they please, Oregon retailers won't actually be able to stock it till next fall. But that didn't stop Beaver State residents from lighting up last night, thanks to free weed being handed out by Portland's National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, or NORML. What do the new rules mean for Oregon and for the push to legalize marijuana nationwide? Joining me are Russ Belville, Executive Director for Portland's National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, NORML, Jonathan Calkins, Professor of Operations Research and Public Policy and author of Marijuana Legalization, What Everyone Needs to Know, Andy Campbell, HuffPost Crime Editor, and Brian Vicente, founding partner at Vicente Cederberg and co-director of Colorado's Amendment 64, which legalized weed for that state. All of you should feel free to jump into the conversation whenever you want to. But Russ, just to kick us off, you can't actually buy marijuana in Oregon yet, but your organization handed it out for free. Tell us about the event last night.
Well, let's be clear. Our organization wasn't handing out anything. We were inviting Oregon adults to join with us and share the marijuana that they had, which became legal as of July 1st for adults to freely share up to an ounce of usable marijuana. So there were plenty of people throughout the crowd, many different organizations and people involved in this. It wasn't just a Portland NORML giving marijuana away. That said, we gathered beneath the iconic White Stag sign, the Portland, Oregon neon sign on the Burnside Bridge. Hundreds, maybe even over 1,000 people gathered there on the bridge and had a celebratory toke at midnight as we ended our criminality in the state of Oregon.
Were there cops?
I did not see a single police officer aside from maybe one or two cruisers that came down the bridge to make sure that people were being well-behaved. As they were, everyone stayed on the sidewalk as best they could or even spilled out into the bike lane a little bit, but it was safe. No injuries reported, no arrests reported that we're aware of. By all means, it was a very peaceable assembly of people enjoying their First Amendment rights and their new legality as Oregon marijuana consumers.
Andy, you were there. We're looking at some of the photos that you took last night. What was the mood like?
Well, the mood was high, my friend. And it's because legalization is so much more than being able to hold a joint in your hand without being a criminal, right? I mean, people were celebrating the fact that, you know, this is a healthcare issue. This is a tax revenue issue. And there are intangible stories. I met with a lot of people who, you know, had possession charges and couldn't get jobs anymore. And those stories start to dissipate now, which is why everyone was so happy. The party was real. And I also did not see any cops, which was crazy for any procession that big.
I mean, in New York City, you see cops everywhere if there's more than 10 people in any given spot. Portland, everyone was happy. The cops are probably high.
And let's be clear that that joint is not one of the ones I gave away. I roll much better joints than that.
He rolls a lot better.
So what happens to people who have minor misdemeanor offenses from previous convictions for marijuana possession in the state? That still remains on their record, right?
Yeah, the legalization that we passed does not directly affect that, but the legislature is addressing that with bills, and I think the bill have cleared the legislature and are awaiting governor's signature that allow for the expungement of certain marijuana offenses that now become legal or become depenalized from the crimes they used to be. We are now in a state where the greatest crime charge you can get for most marijuana offenses is a Class C felony, which is something that is 5 years, and after you serve your time, you can get that expunged from your record. There still remains a couple of higher felonies. They have to do with the delivery of marijuana to minors and within 1,000 feet of a school.
What do you have to do to get the 5 year offense? What does that relate to?
Oh, that would be growing too many marijuana plants. For example, we're allowed to grow 4 plants per household. Between 4 and 8 is a misdemeanor. Anything over 8 still remains a Class C felony. You can get felony charges for the possession of over 7 grams of homemade marijuana concentrates, these butane hash oils that we've heard about in the news. That became very strictly illegal, a Class C felony, if you're caught with over a quarter ounce, and if you're caught manufacturing that in the home. We were very safety conscious in this Measure 91, wanting to make sure that we don't put people's neighborhoods at risk from people recklessly putting together marijuana concentrates.
Brian, why can't people buy or sell pot yet? Why is it going to take until next fall?
That's the way the Oregon law was written. There's just a longer rollout, if you will, and then it's ultimately there's rules and regulations being sort of put into place and hashed out, I think, by both the Liquor Control Board that's overseeing things as well as the legislature, which is still in session. So I think they're trying to do a very thoughtful job of establishing all the sort of final regs, so when stores are open, it'll be done in a very sensible and hopefully smooth fashion.
Is there a precedent for doing it this way, or have any other states done it, even just states that have legalized medical marijuana? Have they had that kind of a trial period?
Yeah, that's correct. So there's currently 23 states with medical marijuana. There's 4 states, including Oregon, Colorado, Alaska, and Washington, that have legal marijuana for adults 21 and over, and then Washington, D.C. as well. And really all those states, particularly the legalization states, have built in, you know, a period which typically is about a year, where after the vote, they convene stakeholder meetings and the government panels and work groups that really decide, you know, what's best for the community, what's best for the, you know, the patients or the ultimate consumers, and how do we get those rules in place? And there's, you know, some groundbreaking tough issues to take on. I mean, marijuana, let's not forget, was illegal for about 100 years in our country, and really only in 2012 did we start to see states legalizing marijuana. So, you know, things like how do we label the product? How do we educate the public? How do we tax it appropriately are really interesting issues. And I think Oregon and other states like Colorado are doing a very thoughtful job of trying to address those head on.
And there's some good news on that front as well in the state of Oregon. Our legislature recognized that if you legalize people's possession and cultivation on July 1st, but give them nowhere to purchase, that's going to incentivize the black market or trips across the river to Vancouver, Washington, where there are legal pot shops. So there is a bill that has passed, and I believe it's awaiting governor's signature, that would allow the existing medical marijuana dispensaries, of which there's about 220 in the state, to begin sales to adult recreational consumers as of October 1st. That 3-month gap would be the shortest gap between legalization and legal sales of any of the states that have legalized so far, and we applaud our legislature for having some foresight on that. It will be somewhat limited. Recreational consumers will only be able to purchase up to a quarter ounce of flower, no edibles, no tinctures, no extracts. But hey, that's good news for Oregon and keeping the money in our economy.
And Jonathan, when he says 200 dispensaries, I mean, that's more evocative reports that that's more than there are Starbucks or McDonald's locations in the state. So really, it will be available.
Yeah, but I gotta address that because I hear that so much in media reports. Oh my God, there's more dispensaries than Starbucks. Yeah, but are there more dispensaries than places you can get a cup of coffee? No, by no means.
Sure.
Jonathan, how did the rollout work in Colorado? Are there lessons?
Well, as I've said, there's a lot of details that you have to work out, and that's why there is the gap. Colorado had already worked out many of those details for its medical side, which was well regulated. That's a big part of why Colorado was able to move faster than Washington was.
So in this three-month period, Russ, people are presumably required to just grow their own pot. They're not allowed to buy it. They're not allowed to sell it. How do they get the seeds?
We call that the immaculate conception of marijuana in this state. The weed fairy is supposed to show up and drop it off at your doorstep, apparently. But I imagine people will take illegal means like going to Vancouver, Washington, and being able to purchase there. The number one and number three best-selling pot shops in all Washington state are in Vancouver, Washington. The four pot shops in Vancouver outsell the 15 pot shops in Seattle. So a lot of that's cross-border traffic coming from Portland and a lot of northern Oregonians. Some people will get it from their friends on the black market. Some will get it from their friends who are medical growers. Some will give money to people to buy in a medical dispensary for them. The same routes that have been in existence before July 1st are still going to exist after. But after October 1st, we're shopping in the dispensaries. And another piece of good news, Measure 91 doesn't allow the taxation of marijuana until January 4th. So when those October 1st sales start, we'll have 3 months of tax-free marijuana sales in the state of Oregon.
Wow, there are going to be a lot of people on New Year's, just after New Year's, stocking up on marijuana before the taxes kick in, I guess.
That and a whole bunch of people coming over from Vancouver.
Right, exactly. Jonathan, people who oppose the legalization of marijuana have point to a whole potential host of societal ills that could come from it, from endangering children and so on to... what's our experience? We know them all. What's our experience in Colorado? What does the data show?
Well, it's a good question to ask, but we're only going to know the answer in 20 years. Right? It'll take a long time for legalization to work its way out and the full ramifications of it. The marijuana was already highly available before anything was legalized, particularly in the states that have created state legal systems because they had such liberal medical systems. So the change wasn't really a big change. We're seeing an evolution over the last 20 years and the next 20 years. It's not a night and day change that
right.
You can just look before and after.
And I could say too, this is Brian, I'm based here in Colorado and been very involved in the process. And there was a lot of predictions when Colorado moved towards legalization that there would be blood in the streets and tourism would dry up and kids would be smoking marijuana everywhere. And we've really just seen none of those ill effects. Now, I think Jonathan's right. It's going to take years till we really kind of have the data to kind of back up, one way or another, how things are going. But at the end of the day, what we found is our economy's booming. We're bringing in tax revenue that's really coming out of the cartels and out of the hands of black markets and moving into this regulated system. And we're producing taxes and jobs there. And we haven't seen any spike in youth consumption, teen use, things like that. So really, the first year or two, I think, has been going pretty well here in Colorado.
Our own Matt Ferner actually reported as well, even though 6 months wasn't a huge amount of time, that in Denver, violent crime was expected to have this huge spike, and there was none. In fact, it dropped by 3%.
Wait, I'm sorry. No one who is reasonable expected a big spike in violent crime. Now, you're sort of attacking a straw man there. Marijuana has never been connected that much to violent crime, either in black market form or illegal. So you certainly shouldn't expect any big change in violent crime. I agree, there wasn't a spike.
Right.
But it wouldn't have been a very responsible person who worried about that. That's not really where the worries were.
Well,
the worries were more like things like driving and the potential to have drug tourism that you may or may not want, not that there was going to be violent crime.
Brian, as you mentioned, you worked on the implementation of Colorado's law. What were the hurdles? What were the setbacks? Were they arguments like these?
Certainly, we wanted to have a very thoughtful approach to the issues that have been raised. How do we keep this out of the hands of kids? How do we make sure packaging is appropriate so it's child-proof and not enticing to teenagers or what have you? What's the appropriate tax level? If the taxes are too high, will people even go into these stores if they could buy it for half the price on a street corner? So a lot of those issues, we really just had to bring in stakeholders, people that have been working in the medical marijuana industry, as well as law enforcement and concerned parents, government officials, get everyone together and say, all right, well, the voters have decided to legalize. how can we address all these issues? And, you know, we spend months and months trying to figure those things out. It's still a work in progress, but it is worth noting that, we haven't seen any giant spike in use. We haven't seen any rise in violent crime, and our tax revenue continues to flow in from this. So, again, I think it's been pretty positive.
There's a lot of... Excuse me. I just wanted to add to that point that there's one of the big scares that we heard here in Oregon is the typical what about the children scare. And I always like to point out that as far as the children, the younger folks, they have their access. They have someone at their high school that deals. They know someone. They know a place to get marijuana. What legalization changes is the access for the people in my age range, the middle-aged folks, the people whose kids are already out in college. We find those are the ones that are the big consumers now under legalization, and the data back this up. In 2002, there was two teenage marijuana smokers, defined as someone that smokes at least once a month, two of them for every one person over the age of 50. By 2012, that had shifted so that for the two teenage tokers, there were three seniors. In fact, the number of people over the age of 50 who admit to being regular cannabis consumers has tripled over the past decade.
Brian, weed is still illegal under federal law. Obviously, there's a lot of confusion about exactly how that's likely to play out between federal and state authorities. How do you deal with that confusion?
Yeah, that's the interesting moment in time that we're in. We have this duality where marijuana is illegal under federal law. It's there in the Controlled Substances Act, whether for medical purposes or adult use, it's illegal. Yet we have a number of states, Oregon, Colorado, et cetera, and I think more that are coming, that have changed their state laws to allow for these regulated markets. So there certainly is still a risk that the federal government could decide that marijuana prosecutions are high priority for them and come in. But we have seen a pretty reasonable approach from the Obama administration. They've released some memos that laid out their sort of policy priorities. And they said that they're really not interested in kind of, bucking the apple cart in these states that are moving forward in a reasonable fashion, as long as people are following state rules and not involving guns and cartels and things like that. And they've been pretty true to their word. We haven't seen a whole lot of federal prosecution. At the same time, all these business owners and all these consumers, they need to understand there is a degree of risk there. I think it becomes less over time as more states pass these laws, but we're still in a pretty interesting moment.
And this federal prohibition
is
something...
If the federal government were going to do something, it's probably not going to be large numbers of arrests and prosecutions, because it never did that, even 10 years ago. A federal action, if there were a more conservative administration, would be more like writing letters to the landlords and saying, look, we'll take your property unless you shut these facilities down. And it would just be trying to push back underground the bricks and mortar commercialization side.
And
that's within the federal government's power to do and wouldn't be very expensive. Although I agree, that's not likely the future. The future is probably within a decade, national legalization. And then there's a different threat to all these state regimes, which is that it'll be very hard for states to go their own way with their own policies if there's national legalization, because there are real restrictions on the extent to which you can block commerce state to state in something that is legal nationwide. So we're going to end up with sort of a homogenization of the policy once the nation legalizes.
Russ?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention the federal prohibition still has an impact on those of us in Oregon and the other legal states in recognizing that there's lots of federal land out here in the West. So if you're in a national forest, Crater Lake National Park, the tribal Indian casinos and tribal lands, these can still net you federal penalties if you're caught by a park ranger or a tribal officer or any of the National Park Service. So that's something our community needs to be very well aware of.
Brian, that's right. And there still is large-scale, purely illegal production that happens, at least in Washington. I guess this is probably in Oregon, too.
Yeah.
So in parallel with the legal markets and legal production in Washington, there's still large-scale, purely illegal production for export to the rest of the country that happens in those federal lands in Washington state.
What precisely is the difference, Jonathan, between legal and illegal production if you have a situation where there is currently no tax? I mean, take, for example, from October 1st through to January 4th, where it's going to be legal to produce and consume and buy medical marijuana. Then what's the difference?
The The shortest answer is that there aren't large differences. There are differences in potency and type and style, but we're just in a weird transition phase, right? So most of the country, it's still not legal. And so where is it produced for the rest of the country? It just turns out that places like Washington, Oregon, Colorado are good places to produce. So in parallel to legal market for domestic in-state production, there's still illegal production for sale throughout the rest of the country. Once the nation legalizes, that would go away.
But just to clarify, it only becomes illegal because it's being exported from the state where it's legal.
No, I'm talking about organized crime groups running networks of grow houses without any license. These are guerrilla grows on federal land. This is completely unlicensed, completely illegal. Same thing that was happening 5-10 years ago. That's still going on. There are these sort of parallel worlds. There was the sort of medical quasi-legal, and that is what is more evolving and growing into the legal retail. But in parallel, the majority of the THC consumed in the United States is still purely 100% illegal, either grown in Mexico or grown by people who don't have licenses to grow it. We're in that transition time.
Right. Brian, I'm probably not quite as bullish as Jonathan that we're going to see the federal government legalize marijuana in all 50 states within 10 years. But are there other things that you could do without Congress? I mean, could, for example, the president sign an executive order instructing law enforcement, federal law enforcement authorities, not to pursue drug crimes in those states where those crimes are not on the state books, for example? You know, are there things you can do without Congress?
Yeah, there are. I mean, we could see a rescheduling of marijuana by executive action. So that could happen either through Congress, which it's kind of tough to move anything through Congress these days, but that could also happen by the president through an executive move, moving marijuana to a different level in the Controlled Substances Act, where it would actually be legal under state law and federal law. So that is possible. I do think I would actually predict that we're going to see a federal legalization sooner. And the reason for that is I think next year, we're actually involved, the folks I work with are involved in attempting to legalize marijuana in 6 more states on November of 2016. And I think we'll actually win probably most of those, including California. And I think that's just one of those tipping points in time where that's going to signal to the federal government that, you know, there's this insurrection basically going on at the state level. And in order for them to just not look foolish and out of touch with reality, they need to, in fact, sort of respect that and change federal law. So I think that could happen as soon as 2017. Maybe I'm optimistic, or perhaps Obama will do it on his way out via executive action. But I think there's a real momentum here that we need to recognize.
Yeah, I think
it's endearing that you think that Congress cares about looking out of touch and and out of step with public opinion. Andy, you're a crime reporter. Do you what are the crimes that are related to weed decriminalization or legalization that you cover? Are there any?
Well, I mean, like I said, decriminalization has led to all these stories. Me and mostly Matt Ferner has been reporting on these kinds of situations where, you know, people are able to have jobs again, right? And I mean, if you have a felony under your belt, a misdemeanor under your belt, a lot harder to get jobs, and it happens to more underprivileged people a lot, blacks over whites every single time. And this is changing that landscape for the better, absolutely.
Russ, that racial disparity is an important point, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Everywhere you look, it's anywhere from here in Oregon, 2 times more likely for blacks or Latinos to be busted for marijuana in some places in the United States, 8 to 10 times as great. And we live under, thanks to our drug laws, we now have more African Americans incarcerated today than were enslaved in 1850. So part of ending that drug war and that mass incarceration begins with the legalization of marijuana. Marijuana is the little turnkey that gets past the 4th and 5th Amendment that allows the cops to go after more of these drug crimes that ensnare more people. So with the fall of marijuana as a federally illegal substance, there's not enough profit really in continuing the drug war as it continues today. Cannabis consumers are the grist for the drug war mill. And I'm with Brian on the federal legalization. I think it happens quick, but I don't think it's so much that the feds legalize as they no longer prohibit. Like they'll say, all right, look, it's not against federal law. States have your way. So it might be illegal in Oklahoma and Idaho for a long time still, but federally legal, I think, is going to fall in the next 5-10 years.
Interesting. And just to clarify that statistic that we hear quite a lot about there being more black people in incarceration today than there were slaves in 1850, that's true in absolute numbers, but of course, as a proportion of the black population, it's worth pointing out that
there were
a far greater proportion of black people in America were slaves in 1850 than currently incarcerated, which doesn't make it okay. Jonathan, what have we been able, do you want to just wrap us up with what we should sort of be thinking about as more and more states come online to legalize? What are the principal lessons from the states that already have?
I don't think it's so much the states that have legalized that you have to look at the lessons. I think you have to look at the lessons of the nationally legalized other industries. And is this going to be an industry that looks like alcohol, or is it an industry that's going to look like tobacco? I think the big naivete is underestimating the extent to which this industry is going to promote or contrary to all. It's really sort of the extent to which English representatives are part of the rulemaking process in a way that was allowed by the FDA with the whole company. And I think we really underestimate the trajectory to the extent to which these are going to become quite large corporations that will blow out of the water almost everybody who's now in the industry. So I think we need to not be naive about the direction of that. This is going to be a multi-tens of billions of dollar year industry, and it's going to be a powerful lobbying force. It's going to be tough to control.
Jonathan, Russ, Andy, and Brian, thanks so much for being part of the conversation. Great to talk to you guys.
Yeah, it was a good time speaking to the guys on Huffington Post Live. It's just been a whirlwind the past 24 hours with all the media that I've spoken to, Reuters and AP and Time and Vice News. That was cool, speaking to Keegan Hamilton of Vice News right outside of Dante's Club, the building that has the Keep Portland Weird painted on it, just a block away from Voodoo Donuts and the Kit Kat Strip Club, because that's how we roll in Portland, Oregon. We got more recordings because, you know, I'm kind of like the teacher on Hangover Day. I gotta just bring out the old projector, the little slideshow or whatever. I'm telling you, folks, I'm exhausted up till 2:30 in the morning, but loving it. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.